The National Wildlife Federation has a new president and CEO. Colin O'Mara was recently in Michigan for an environmental tour of the Detroit area and came by the WKAR studios to talk. For a CEO, he's on the young side, in his 30s. I asked him what environmental values he brings to this position that might be different from someone in their 50s or 60s.
Throughout my life, I was fortunate to grow up in a family that really valued nature. And I think at the same time, I grew up in a cohort that kind of, there are two types of kids. There's kids that played outside and there's kids that played video games and, you know, played in their computers and things like that. And the challenge is those kids are having kids now. And so at a time when we're facing some of the greatest conservation challenges in the globe's history, in Michigan's history, you have a citizenry that's actually less engaged with nature in a personal way than probably any time in American history. And so I think I bring that connection with nature and also kind of knowing that we need that connection to actually overcome some of these challenges, because otherwise it's just an academic exercise.
You did some organizing for John McCain's first run for president. You've also served as the executive of the Onondaga County Democratic Committee in New York State. Having worked for both, what are your thoughts on how the major political parties in this country are currently handling the environmental issues that concern groups like the National Wildlife Federation?
I think when the conversations turn to place-based projects, so restoring the Great Lakes, doing work in the Gulf of Mexico, trying to work in the Colorado River, the partisan labels tend to fall away. When you talk about national issues that start affecting, you know, the entire country, the politics dominate everything and kind of destroy the potential for consensus. But if you look back 40 years ago, I mean, the Clean Air Act passed unanimously. I mean, when Nixon first vetoed the Clean Water Act, it was overridden with the overwhelming majority to override the veto. And so, you know, throughout our history, you know, we've come together around these issues, and it's really just the last 20 or 30 years where we've been kind of ripped apart by the what I call the kind of the 10% at the extremes instead of focusing on the 80% that we agree on. But, I mean, the fact that the Michigan delegation, regardless of party, can come together to get funding for the Great Lakes to do great conservation work shows there is a conservation ethic, but we need to localize it and kind of stay out of some of the nationwide debates that would get us into trouble.
The animal lovers out there will want to know the main species the National Wildlife Federation is most focused on right now.
So in the state of Michigan, you know, we're concerned about the declining moose population. The scientists in the wildlife agency decided that the populations had dropped so much that they couldn't have a hunting season anymore. We're seeing impacts on loon populations as both from botulism and also from other water impacts in the state. We're seeing a lot of invasive species, obviously the Asian carp issue that's continuing to impact ecosystems within the Great Lakes. There's also just a series of other impacts on habitats that we're seeing up and down the state and across the region that are completely connected to climate impacts that are affecting the hunting and fishing experience, that are affecting, you know, just folks' ability to go outdoors. And so we're really focused on kind of protecting those species and making their habitat more resilient, and at the same time figuring out more ways to expose folks to nature to build the base of kind of the conservation ethic to actually protect those very species.
Colin O'Mara is our guest. Colin is the new president and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation. And you're listening to Current State on WKAR. Even though you're the National Wildlife Federation, part of your mission is finding solutions to global warming as well. Given all the environmental issues that affect our wildlife, why are you choosing to focus on climate change?
So I think that when you look at all the different threats to wildlife, pollution, different types of other human activity, the potential long-term impacts from climate change are pretty significant. Now, when you look at wetlands being depleted of resource in places like North Dakota, when you're looking at the forest fires in the Midwest, you're looking at the droughts in the Southwest, you're looking at, you know, some of these hurricanes on the East Coast, the impacts of climate on these individual species and their habitat is pretty significant. And so we're really focused on the wildlife piece of the climate challenge and trying to figure out ways to make sure that those habitats are more resilient so the species are protected. One of the things that is happening across the globe right now is that we are seeing more and more species populations decline as a result of climate impacts, and the potential for extinction of many species is greater than probably any time in the last several thousand years.
You also have a mission to get kids outside and more acquainted with the natural world. You kind of alluded to this a minute ago. Why do you feel this is important?
So I have a 2-year-old daughter, and you know, she's bombarded all the time with, you know, different types of electronic devices and things like that. And there's a connection with nature that, especially at a young age, helps crystallize the mind. Actually, will improve cognitive skills. It'll help with critical thinking. It'll help build leadership skills. It helps with school performance. It helps reduce, you know, the potential for childhood obesity. obesity and related diseases like childhood diabetes.
There are links to all of those benefits.
Absolutely. And just the time of playing outside. And so the average American kid right now is spending about 50 hours a week in front of some kind of screen. That's outside of school. They might be spending another 10 hours in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And only minutes a week outside in unstructured play. Compare that to 40 years ago in my grandparents' generation, the numbers were almost the exact opposite. And so, you know, if you lose that connection, you look at challenges around healthcare, you look at challenges on school performance, you look at challenges around kind of the environmental ethic that then leads to kind of an informed citizenry and a scientific literate citizenry. A lot of the challenges that we have as a country get back to this lack of connection for children and nature.
Did you have a wild place when you were a kid that informed how you viewed the natural world?
Yeah, I was fortunate. I grew up in the house of an elementary school teacher. So my mom and dad were both teachers, and my dad was later in the military. And so we were outside all the time. And so I remember, you know, waiting for my issue of Ranger Rick magazine from the National Wildlife Federation and, you know, doing those activities as a family. We had woods in the backyard, and we had, you know, great state and local parks within, you know, a few minutes drive. And so we were outside all the time in Syracuse, New York.
Okay.
In the Finger Lakes region.
All right.
Yeah. And we were outside all the time. And that was the way we spent time as a family. And I think it ingrained an appreciation that's obviously stayed with me till today.
Are there issues associated with the Midwest, with Michigan, that you feel have really gone beyond our region and are now affecting the national dialogue on the environment?
I do. I think the leadership that's been shown around the Great Lakes Compact in particular, and kind of showing how different entities, in this case, across two different countries, have come together to try to restore such an amazing resource, creates a model that could be replicated in other parts of the country. I think the work around invasive species, in particular, in the Asian carp issue, and the way that folks from both parties have come together to actually try to deal with this is another great example of potential leadership. And then I think also there's been an embrace by the Snyder administration and by politicians of both parties around the economic benefits of protecting these incredibly wild places and looking at the tourism benefits and trying to promote the Upper Peninsula, trying to promote, you know, some of these great waterways in western or central Michigan, looking at, you know, ways to really kind of connect nature. And if you look at the work recently trying to restore Belle Island and having, you know, the state play a bigger role there, an incredible sized park. I mean, it's a park that's bigger than Central Park, right close to a major population center. I mean, to have that kind of resource reclaimed and being able to say across the country, if they did it in Michigan, we can do it in some other places, I think does create a model that's replicable. So I think folks should be pretty proud of the work that's going on here. A lot more work to do, but I think it's because the hunters and the anglers and the birders and the gardeners and everyone kind of work together generally to try to get some of these bigger issues done.
And what about the other direction? Conversely, what national or world environmental issues do you see as having the most impact on those of us here in the Midwest?
I think when you look at some of the big impacts, some of the storms, some of the impacts around water quality related to climate. I mean, I think there are some big global trends that will affect, whether it's more intense precipitation, more heat. I mean, things that will fundamentally alter the amazing habitat that you do have in the state. So I think there's things like that. I think there's also some lessons that we could learn from some other parts of the country for potentially even the revitalization of cities like Detroit and Flint. I mean, I think there's places that have adopted kind of natural resource conservation and natural resource infusion into communities as a way to help bring life back into those communities. And I'll be visiting a series of sites in downtown Detroit. These are big facilities that, you know, have fairly high levels of pollution and some of the highest rates of asthma around for the folks that live in those neighborhoods around there. One's a big incinerator. And, you know, a lot of other parts of the country, folks have moved away from that technology more towards recycling, things that create more jobs, more opportunities for manufacturing, and obviously a lot less pollution, a lot better health outcomes for residents. So I think there's lessons like that, you know, have, you know, are national and international in terms of like the way folks are thinking about the way of managing waste more effectively, that if adopted here in Michigan actually could have some pretty good benefits.
Colin O'Mara is the new president and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation. A pleasure to have you on the show. Good luck.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for everything.